Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you see how the gospel of Jesus Christ intersects with our daily lives and compels us toward gratitude and generosity.
Hey folks, welcome to Abound in Hope, our podcast. My name is Darren Larson.
I'm Tom Regan.
Last week we talked a little bit about the idea of witness and what our witness is like and how we, even the words we say, the things we do, compel people towards a relationship towards Christ. And so we have another topic this week.
Yeah.
So it's topic of anxiety.
This week we're talking about anxiety, which we feel is very timely topic because there's a lot of people are experiencing that.
Yeah, in the time of coronavirus, it seems like people are afraid. In fact, I received an email from someone recently that said, my emotions have been all over the place. I think about what happened to my family if I get sick and die. I think about what would happen if my spouse dies. I'm kind of paralyzed. I think about what would happen if I don't get a job in the next few months. Where will I live? Where will we live? One moment I have complete faith in God that he will see us through. And we see this time and time and over the Bible that he's proven faithful, but I'm still afraid. I think it's a real human emotion, right? I mean, this is something every single one of us goes through.
Yeah, so Darren, I'll ask you this question. If a person says, hey, I trust in God and I'm a Christian, therefore I don't think I should struggle with anxiety. What would you say to that person?
Yeah, it's a good question because the Bible has some pretty strong things to say about fear and anxiety. And I think that's where people get this idea of like, man, I'm trusting in God. I don't need to be afraid. We think of Philippians 4. These are the verses that I went to immediately when I thought of the top of anxiety, where Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord's at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. That's pretty clear language.
Right, you know? Right. And what I've heard from people, and it makes sense. It seems logical we should talk about this because if Jesus says, Matthew 6:25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you drink or about your body or what you will wear. If he says, don't do these things and then you do them, then therefore that's disobedience and that's sin.
Yep,
so
totally.
We should talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so on one hand, those feel like the imperatives, but there's also in the Bible, there's encouragement not to fear.
Right.
And I see that in 1 Peter 5, give all your worries and cares to God because he cares about you. Proverbs 12 tells us that fear and worry weighs people down. And so there's not just what seems to be an imperative in Scripture to not fear, but there seems to be an encouragement in Scripture to not fear anyway as well, you know. And so I think about this, I was trying to boil this down to a thought, and I thought, you know, what we can deduce from Scripture is that anxiety is not the design that God has for us as people or anyone in the world.
Right.
I think we can say that pretty clearly from a scriptural picture, but that's a hard thing to deal with, you know?
Right. And is it sin? Sometimes I think that people who experience anxiety feel like I'm being unfaithful and I'm not trusting in God, and surely there's some truth to that, that if you're experiencing anxiety, you're not necessarily trusting God, but should we go so far as to say, is it sin? And that's why and we can talk about this, but I've encouraged people to consider the fact that Jesus himself experienced anxiety. Yep. If you read the gospel accounts about him in the garden, he's distressed in his soul. He is anxious about what he is going through. And we know the Bible tells us that he is sinless. So that we don't therefore then go, okay, well, so Jesus had anxiety, so I guess it's okay for me to have anxiety because the Bible is calling us not to be anxious.
Right.
But there seems to be more like here's a moral command, don't violate this through anxiety. It's more like, be encouraged. Like, don't, it's an encouragement, it's an exhortation to trust in God and don't be anxious because he'll take care of you.
Yeah. And you think not just Jesus, but other characters in the scriptures certainly have dealt with anxiety. You see this come up in the life of Moses, who fears going before Pharaoh and sees excuses in his own life. He's like, I'm not going to go. I can't talk, you know, send someone else. I mean, this is the context of someone who deals with anxiety. And so you start to wonder, like, you have a command for it and you have an encouragement for it and you see Jesus doing it. And so you almost kind of wonder if anxiety is the way of life in a broken world, you know?
Yeah.
And I kind of wonder if that's what it is. It's not necessarily that that it's sinful to do it, but I wonder if it's the reality of what life is like, living with human emotions and real world fears that are out there. You
know? And I would say that I think that when you read the scripture, there is a distinction between the sin of unbelief and the experience of anxiety. That to experience anxiety isn't the same thing as unbelief. Unbelief is more along the lines of a refusal to trust in God. And that is what the Bible calls out as wrong and as sinful. And you see that quite a bit in the Gospel of John, the unbelief of the religious leaders.
Totally.
I think that's different. And the thing that I think I struggle with when I've experienced anxiety is it's hard to get over it, right? I mean, it's like don't steal. I feel like I can keep myself from stealing. But emotions just come to you. So how do you deal with anxiety when it comes to you? It's not like something that you can just automatically kill and just stop doing that. Well, don't be anxious. Okay, so stop just being anxious. That's really hard to do, to control your emotions when it just comes up on you.
Totally.
And I've had some real moments in my life when I'm like, God, I'm so frustrated right now because I'm like anxious and I feel my heart pounding. And I don't want to feel this way, God. I want to trust in you. I want to believe in your word. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? Like, what do you do when you experience anxiety?
Yeah, I think that's where it comes down to the idea of where does the anxiety stem from? You were kind of talking about this earlier. But to say that, you know, you experience some anxiety is like saying, you know, it's the same reminder as if you're talking to someone and they're mad at you and you have to say, like, don't be mad. You know, it's like it doesn't make any sense. It's hard to tell yourself to not be anxious. You know, it's like we talk about this idea of preaching the gospel to ourselves and things like that, and how that can actually overcome some anxiety. And I think there's some validity to that. But the hard part is you have to actually ask yourself, where does that anxiety come from? Right. You know, is it stemming
from sin? There's layers,
right?
You have to uncover what's there, because it's not this like physical object you can just deal with. You have to like process things inside your heart and your mind and what's going on there.
Yeah. I mean, is it from sin? Is it from something you can't control? Is it from a challenge of life? Is it from a chemical imbalance for some people as well that deal with anxiety issues? And from what Tom was saying a second ago, if it's from some sinful place, if it's from something that you don't trust God in, I think that's where we see the scriptures like Paul in Philippians 4, who says, you know, do not be anxious about anything, where that becomes a sinful issue, where you actually say, okay, I got to stop. I can't do that. I'm not trusting in the grace of God. So where is that from? Or is it something like you have some anxiety towards the things that might happen to your children, you know, something you can't control?
Right.
Like there is a normal amount of anxiety that comes to people in that. And if you peel on the layers, there may be things in your life, a fear of loss or experiencing loss or something where that's from. But ultimately, I don't think you can pin that down the same way of sinfulness that you can in other things in your life when you're not trusting in the
Lord.
Yeah,
it's usually like when Jesus chides his disciples, like, you have little faith. Like, it seems to me there's a bit of there is a tone of correction there, but it always feels pastoral. It doesn't come as a sharp rebuke, for sin, like the way Jesus might rebuke someone guilty of hypocrisy. It's more like why didn't you trust in me?
Yes, and I think you wouldn't see both the imperative and the exhortation in scripture at the same level as if this wasn't the normal part of the human condition. And so I think at some level you can see the fears and the anxieties that are stemming from something much worse than the encouragement that comes in to us to not fear. Think of Isaiah's gospel, Isaiah 41, where it talks about not being afraid in there. And there's just places in there where we're having encouragement from the Lord to not fear, because that is part of our lives. And I think that's a big part of figuring out where the anxiety is from.
Right. Yeah. So I think of obviously 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, he says, casting all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, there's this exhortation to offload your burden of anxiety. And the way that you're supposed to do that is to reflect on the fact that God himself cares for you. And so if you don't meditate on the truth that God cares for you, you're just going to hold on to your anxieties. And I've said, I sometimes try to remind myself of this phrase that I came up with once when I was preaching Philippians chapter 4, when it says, don't be anxious for anything. It's basically, to be anxious is to pray to yourself. Like you're basically praying, you're looking to yourself to solve your problems versus looking outward. Cast your anxieties on him.
That's good.
He cares for you.
That's good.
So maybe some of the practical ways that we deal with our anxieties is that we turn our worries into prayers.
Yeah.
Because what I've noticed in my own life is sometimes I'm worried over something, and then it'll like, I don't know if it's maybe the Holy Spirit's help to help me see that you've been worrying about this thing for, let's say, half an hour or maybe all day, kind of like kind of a subtext of my day has kind of been carrying that along, and you haven't really brought that to the Lord. You've just kept this to yourself. So cast it on him. Cast your burdens on the Lord. Psalm 55 says something along those lines, connected to 1 Peter 5.
Yeah, I think when you experience those feelings, there's a willingness to either turn inward or turn outward, right? Mm-hmm. Turn towards Christ. Dallas Willard is famous for saying, feelings make excellent servants, but terrible masters. And I think if we allow a feeling to continue, it's become our master. If we're not turning it over to the Lord in that way, it's becoming something that will actually define our lives a little bit. We become an anxious person instead of experiencing the feeling of anxiety, which can help us sometimes to turn towards the Lord in faith and to his sovereignty. So,
I just read an article, came across an article the other day that talks about, like, basically science revealing that your emotions can follow your thoughts or follow your thoughts. Mm-hmm. So what you choose to think on will direct your emotions. And that doesn't automatically mean that if you're experiencing anxiety and you just do an hour of Bible study, that that's just going to go away, because I think these are really complex layers in our hearts. But for sure, I think one of the best ways to deal with our anxieties is where we fix our minds. And so if you go into Philippians chapter 4, he says, don't be anxious for anything. And you keep reading and he says, set your mind on these things that are excellent, praiseworthy, lovely, whatever's true, whatever's noble. Set your minds on these things. Mm-hmm. And the God of peace will be with you.
That's great. That's great.
What about God's sovereignty? How does that, knowing and really thinking, putting our minds on God, reflecting on him, what does God's sovereignty and belief, the doctrine of God's sovereignty have to deal with? Do with our emotions.
Yeah. I so appreciated kind of thinking through the lens of Jesus in this one as well, since that he not only encouraged us not to fear, but he experienced anxiety in his life. And what did he do during that time of anxiety? You know, he emphasized God's sovereignty is what he did. I mean, he says in Matthew 6, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not more valuable than they are? You know, so therefore, do not be anxious saying, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or what do we wear? If God feeds them, how much more will he do for you as well? See, Jesus acknowledges the sense that there is something there in terms of anxiety, being legitimate, wondering, where's my food? Where's my things going to, where am I going to get things, you know? And yet he says, look to the sovereign Lord who controls all things. And in that sense, when you put your faith in a faith and trust in a Lord who controls those things, I think that helps us not to have that.
Right in Matthew 10, Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's will or apart from him. Fear not, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. So if you understand that God is in sovereign control, that is purposeful, meaningful, benevolent control of all creation, and you belong to him through Jesus, then you are of much more value than the rest of his creation, which he takes care of. So I think that's helpful to me. But I guess I just, be in my moments of honesty here, I just want to say that there's never a promise that he's going to keep us from tragedy.
Or
destruction of some sort, you know.
Totally.
We can still die of disease.
Yeah, what's that thing you said about Psalm 23 about, yea, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death? The prayer is, why do I have to walk
Why do I have to go through the valley of the shadow of death anyway? Right? Like, or I will keep you, you know, when the floodwaters come upon you, they will not overwhelm you, the fire shall not burn you. And I'm going, why do we have to go through the fire and the flood in the first place?
Yeah, totally.
Right? But I have to come back to this idea that even if I'm in the middle of something very hard, coming back to the idea of God's sovereignty, for me, this has just been comforting. Isaiah 55, when God says in verses 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. So for me, there's just this measure of peace that that brings me, just to take my hands off and just go, okay, God, you know things that I don't. You just know things that I don't know. I don't know the good that you are going to bring through this, but I trust that you are going to do this. And if I could see everything, and maybe it was Tim Keller who said, if we knew everything that God knows, we would answer our prayers exactly the way that he does and the timing that he does.
Yeah, totally. You know, it's a good reminder to me as well. I hate to bring up this scripture in terms of fear at times, because it feels like the Romans 8 thing where it's like all things work together for his good, you know, for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. That seems like a really trite thing to say. But I also think as we are experiencing fear, we almost have to at some level ask ourselves, what are we learning through these times? What are we growing in at this point? Because many times we try to get through the challenge rather than ask the Lord what he's teaching us in the challenge. And I think fear can play a part of that. Like, why am I fearing? What's going on? What is the Lord trying to teach me through this? And I think a lot of that comes back to his care, his omnipotence, his sovereignty over all things. Like, okay, Lord, you're trying to teach me to not rely on myself right now, but to rely on you. And that's a really big growth area when it comes to anxiety, I would say.
So what would you say are some practical suggestions if people listening are experiencing anxiety.
Yeah, totally. I was reading about this just this week because I knew we were doing this podcast, and I read some things about some things to combat fear in our lives. And one of the things that someone mentioned was just the idea of getting enough sleep. Sounds really strange to say, but human beings generally needs 8 to 9 hours of sleep every day. And sleep deprivation has been proven psychologically to cause anxiety. And so as I was reading about this, I was thinking, yeah, the word has a lot to speak on it, but a lot of times just caring for ourselves, getting enough sleep, getting some exercise, especially in this time of coronavirus, like, you know, it's easy to binge watch Netflix right now or whatever it is, and to go to bed late and get up early. And then we just kind of perpetuate.
I've been going to bed late, getting up late. So that's been, I've been getting more sleep.
Totally.
I'm getting close to 8 hours. So it's wonderful.
Yeah. It's one of those things you can do. I mean, I was thinking about this. I enjoy reading the Bible or listening to the Bible or listening to worship music. It sounds really strange, but listening to worship music a lot of times pulls me out of fear and anxiety. And it's
why do you think that is?
You know, it's like you're almost, it goes back to that whole thing of hearing the gospel pounding right into your brains. You know, I get my AirPods in or whatever, I'll just listen to it. And it brings me to another level to remind myself that I'm not in charge, that I'm not, I'm not the sole focus of the world.
Right.
But God's glory is. And if I can live for that, then it pulls me out of this anxiousness that I have.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a good thing. Talk to people, talk to someone about your fears and anxiety, you know, that's a good thing. To be able to share those things with other people within your imprint group or, friends that you have, share those anxieties, don't hold them in, allow that to happen. And then even just really practically, I think for us, like one of the things that we would tell people is if you're really burdened with anxiety, seek help, you know, by all means. There's nothing wrong with talking to a counselor.
Right,
there's nothing wrong. It can be helpful. A lot of times these are chemical imbalances in people. And a lot of times if you are willing to share that with someone professional, then you can get the help that you need as well, you know.
Yeah, you know, this just came to my mind, and I don't have any statistics on me, but just as I sort of listen and observe modern culture, it seems to me that I know anxiety has always been around, but it seems to me, especially young people, and I don't know if there's any distinctions in the studies between boys and girls, but it just seems that I'm just hearing more about anxiety levels just skyrocketing, gone through the roof. And I think it's being linked to social media. So this is not a rant against social media, but to just be wise about our intake, because I've heard and read stories about people feeling anxious, and part of the anxiety is feeling like you have to maintain a certain image and a posture, and you see what everyone else is doing, you feel like there's this FOMO, like I'm missing out, and all of this information and images, they just kind of compound and build up in your mind, and that leads to this feeling of a sort of unsettledness. And I wonder, like, maybe we're just too wired in with everything, that maybe like the coronavirus quarantine has been good for just going on walks and getting outside. There are common graces that God gives to people just by simply like being able to breathe fresh air, like getting out of the house, turning your screen off and being wise about our intake and food too. So for me, like coffee, I drink coffee every morning, and I've realized I have to cut myself off at a certain point because I'm like, I feel really anxious, but there's like nothing, it's sort of this generalized anxiety. There's nothing that's on my mind that I'm thinking about, but I just kind of feel like anxious. And I'm like, actually, I've noticed as I've cut back on coffee in the morning, it's actually helped my spirit, my state of mind.
It's great. So I wonder if that's why I shake sometimes, because I drink too much coffee. Yeah. It's not anxiety, it's just the coffee. Or maybe it's causing that anxiety to come up. So
I'm not sure that it's really, we're not here saying that there's some quick fix, because I think we are complex people. And I think we're saying there are some, God obviously gives us some direction in his word. Probably if I were to boil it down, I would say probably the best things that we can do is think about where we fix our thoughts, where we put our thoughts.
Where's the anxiety coming from? Where's that fear coming from? Is it coming from a place of sinful distrust in the Lord and his sovereignty? Or is it coming from a normal part of life that you deal with walking in the broken world? And then what do you do with those places? Is there a place of repentance that you need to come to? Or is there a place of trust that you need to come to, where you need to, you know, bring your mind to things that are true, and, you know, Philippians, whatever's true, whatever's lovely, whatever's excellent, whatever's praiseworthy, all these things. Yeah. That goes back to that listening to the praise music and allowing those things to be the thing that encompass your mind.
And I think those are some general and helpful principles. I would also say to those who, our wirings are different, our personalities are different. Darren's wired in such a way as like he doesn't get anxious as much as probably other people do.
My personality says I'm immune to anxiety, which is not quite true.
But a good thing, because I feel like I'm going to puke before I preach every time. And I'm just like, you know, and do I have fear of man issues? I don't think that's what's driving it. There's this sense of burden and heaviness that's there. But I'm not generally a person given to anxiety, and there are people in my life who I love who they're just wired more as you talk about people who are worrywarts and, mm-hmm. and things like that. And mm-hmm. so we shouldn't assume that because someone worries more than you, that you're a more mature believer.
Right. Right.
Than them. Yep. 'Cause I remember when I was in college, I was stressed out about my final research project my senior year as a biology major, strangely, I know. and so it was the day before our final presentations were due, and I ran into one of my classmates in the library, and he was a senior, and it was due, and he was a biology major. And I was like, are you done? And he's like, no, I'm not even close to being done. I'm not even sure I'm going to be ready by tomorrow. And I was like, dude, are you nervous? Like, and he's like, no. He's like the most laid back guy, and he wasn't a Christian. Yep. So here I was, kind of a newer Christian, going, I need to trust God. I need to trust God. And this guy's, I mean, he's just wired to not worry about anything, which is probably why he's not done, because he doesn't care that much. You know? So I just say that I bring that up to encourage those of you who may find yourself more inclined to worry than others. It shouldn't be taken on as a condemning thing to you. It doesn't mean that you're spiritually immature. Mm-hmm. That just mean that that's something that you have to fight against harder than other people
do. Totally. Yep. So. That's a good word and a good reminder. So Isaiah 41 to end it. I love Isaiah 55 too, in the various passages we've read. You know, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I'll help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Good word, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you want to close in prayer just for people that maybe are experiencing
I'll say a prayer.
Anxiety?
Yep. Lord, thanks for your kindness to us. We're complex people. We have complex emotions. And every single one of us at some level deals with anxiety, whether we jokingly say we're immune to it, like me and my personality, or not. We all face that as a common thing on this side of eternity in your kingdom. And so I pray as we do that, you would help us to understand first where it comes from, whether that's something we need to repent of and change our minds, our behavior, our hearts, whatever it is, or if it's something as a normal part of this life in this world, and to reorient our thinking towards the word and what you promise in there. Whatever it is, Lord, you help us to deal with anxiety in a way that's healthy and turning towards you and trusting in your sovereignty and goodness, Lord. Give us the ability to do that, especially during this time of coronavirus, Lord. I pray that it would be a time where we learn to trust you more than any other thing. Help us now, we pray, and guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.